This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of May 19th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad Cop No Donut!
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut!
He's under law! And I rule!
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. A police officer in San Diego, California, was sentenced to 5 years in prison on Thursday for molesting his 11-month-old daughter. KNTV reports that Officer Stephen Gallagher was arrested on February 2nd and pleaded guilty to the charge on February 9th. Gallagher's abuse of the child was caught on videotape. His wife had set up a hidden camera to watch him and the girl because she believed that the officer was drinking while caring for her. Instead, the camera captured the officer forcing the child to orally copulate him. A report from a court-appointed monitoring team has found almost 800 uninvestigated complaints against the Oakland, California Police Department. An Associated Press report says that at least 774 complaints in the Internal Affairs database had no case numbers assigned to them and were not investigated. The report, released on Monday, said that some of the complaints dated as far back as 2003. Internal Affairs officers say they are now attempting to contact every person who made a complaint that wasn't acted upon. They say at least 75 new cases have been opened so far. A police officer assigned to work in a high school in Sylvester, Georgia, was charged with child molestation last week. WALB reports that Officer Nathaniel Curry was charged with 2 counts of child molestation and criminal intent to rape and sexual battery. Curry has been suspended from his job. A police officer in Albany, Georgia, is under investigation for having sex with a 14-year-old. WALB also reports that Officer Darius Richardson is suspended with pay but has not been arrested. Georgia Bureau of Investigations agents were called in last Friday after Richardson caught the 14-year-old driving his car. The girl claimed that she had taken the officer's car in an attempt to flee after having sex with him. A police officer in Pasque Christian, Mississippi, has been arrested on sex charges. The Associated Press reports that Officer Thomas Stephen Puste has been charged with sexual battery and unlawful carnal knowledge. The victim of the crime was a member of the officer's family who was a minor at the time of the alleged offenses. Puste is being held on a $200,000 bond, and he is facing up to 40 years in jail if convicted on the charges. A police officer in Vicksburg, Mississippi, was suspended last week for misconduct involving a female high school student. The Associated Press reports that the officer, who is unnamed, was a resource officer at the school the victim attended. The nature of the conduct has not been reported and is not expected to result in criminal charges. The suspension is expected to last 20 days. A police officer in New Martinsville, West Virginia, was indicted on sex abuse charges and disciplined by his department last week. According to the New Martinsville Intelligencer, Officer Daniel Wayne Wright was charged last week with 2 counts of first-degree sexual abuse connected to an incident on July 28th involving a female victim. Wright is alleged to have touched his victim's genital area through her clothing and forced her to touch his genitals through his clothing. A statement issued by the local police chief says that appropriate disciplinary action has been taken against the officer, but refuses to say what that action was. Wright will appear in court to answer the charges this week. A sheriff's deputy in Durango, Colorado, who works for the La Plata County Sheriff's Department, was accused in a court motion last week of having sex with a female drug suspect. The Associated Press reports that the woman had agreed to work as an informant in exchange for favorable treatment on her methamphetamine possession charges. Deputy Tom Frizzell is accused of abusing his authority by having sex with the woman, who claims she only had sex with the deputy because she thought it would help her get her charges dropped. The woman is currently facing those charges, and the motion filed by her lawyer this week, which accuses the deputy of inappropriate behavior, also asks that the charges against the woman be dismissed by the court. A police officer in Forestdale, Missouri, was arrested for beating his girlfriend last week. According to a KSDK report, Officer Kenneth Rosa was driving with his girlfriend and their 2 children when the couple got into a fight. Rosa was charged with one count of domestic assault in the first degree and two counts of endangering the welfare of a child. He's accused of striking his girlfriend in the back of the head with his gun. A police officer in Beloit, Wisconsin, was arrested last week on a domestic charge and suspended for one day by his department. The Beloit Daily News reports that police were called to the home hours after the alleged incident by the officer's girlfriend, who required assistance in removing belongings from the home. After an investigation, Officer Sheldon Croning was charged with domestic-related disorderly conduct. A court date was set and the officer was released. He's been ordered by the department to seek counseling. If Croning is convicted of the domestic abuse charge, he'll no longer be able to carry a weapon. Croning was hired in April 2004 and was still in the probationary period of his employment at the time of the incident. A judge in Trempealeau County, Wisconsin, denied a request for a continuance last week in the murder trial of a police officer. According to the La Crosse Tribune, Officer Matthew Hoskins is facing trial on first-degree intentional homicide and other charges. He is accused of killing a man in September 2003. Hoskins is scheduled to stand trial beginning on July 27th. A hearing has yet to be scheduled for a defense motion to have the trial moved out of the county because the jury pool has been tainted by local media coverage of the case.
That's not right. Policemen are supposed to help us and be there for us, not be work against us.
Certainly it's not right. The department should do something to remove him and make sure the officers aren't doing it.
James Quate had been stopping individuals for traffic violations, and when he found that they had outstanding warrants, felony or misdemeanors, he would indicate that they could give him cash in lieu of going to jail. In two documented instances, cash was actually provided by wanted individuals to Officer Quate to avoid being taken into custody.
And when you hear that an officer goes out and does something like this, it just really shoots down every good thing that officers do every single day to protect this city. This guy just set us back, and it's a shame.
A police officer in Dallas, Texas, was arrested last Thursday on extortion charges. KXAS reports that Officer James Quate is accused of releasing suspects in exchange for cash during traffic stops. Quate is accused of running warrant checks on people who he pulled over and then offering to release them in exchange for cash. Dallas police say they have documented two cases where wanted persons provided cash to the officer and were released. The officer, who may face more charges, is currently on paid leave.
He was laying with his feet like Jesus, you know, on the cross with his arms out, and his eyes were open, just waiting for the EMS to come over and tell me how my mom's doing, because that's all I had left. Then my aunt, he just kept on saying, I'm sorry. The fact that he drove while drinking, that is just totally wrong. That I loved him, but he gave me a kiss goodnight. That's about it.
A San Antonio, Texas police officer was arrested last week after he crashed his vehicle into a parked SUV, killing one man and injuring two women. The San Antonio Express News reports that Officer Frank Navarijo has been charged with intoxication manslaughter and was being held on $100,000 bond. He was fitted with an electronic monitoring device and placed on administrative leave from his job once he was released. The man who was killed was inside the SUV, which he had just parked to say goodbye to his wife and aunt when it was struck by the officer's pickup truck. The man was pronounced dead at the scene of the accident, and the two women were taken to hospital for treatment. Navarijo was taken for a blood alcohol test, the results of which will be available next week. This is not the officer's first time in trouble. In 2003, he was suspended for 45 days after hitting a parked car and then waiting several hours to report the accident. In 2002, he was suspended for 2 days following an altercation with a TV reporter. He was suspended for 5 days in 1993 for allowing someone to use his parking permit. In 1991, he was suspended for 5 days after he refused to leave a strip club to respond to a police call.
So, you know, I talked a little more junk to him. He kept going back and forth with me. And, you know, people telling me I stopped, but he kept on coming. And then he came at me. He ran at me. You know, I like you kick a football in the air. He ran, kicked me in my face. That's the last thing I expect for an officer to put his hands on me. And I understand if I would have put my hands on him, but I never put my hands on him because I was handcuffed behind the back of my head.
A police officer in New Britain, Connecticut, was arrested on Monday for brutalizing a man in April. WFSB reports that Officer Michael Adams kicked his victim in the head as he was being held down by other officers. In sworn statements made by other police officers, Adam was accused of taking a running start before kicking the man and then yelling "Yahoo!" as he kicked his victim in the head. The officer claims that his actions were justified. An innocent bystander who was accidentally shot by police in Buffalo, New York last month, died this week. According to a report from WRGB, the woman never regained consciousness after she was shot in the head on April 7th by Officer Thomas English. The woman was looking out the window of a friend's house when she was struck by the bullet which killed her. A police officer in New York City is accused of treating a woman so roughly that he caused her to have a miscarriage. WABC reports that police were responding to a call at a housing project last Friday when they got into a confrontation with residents. A city councilor held a press conference where he accused an unnamed officer of abusing the woman and causing her to have a miscarriage. The woman was also charged with disorderly conduct. Police say they are investigating the incident. The former chief of police in Bordentown, New Jersey, was indicted by a grand jury last Tuesday on charges that he set the home of his estranged wife on fire and conspired to kill her. An Associated Press report says that Chief Philip Castagna had already been convicted of violating a restraining order and harassing his ex-wife. He was accused of setting her house on fire in July 2003. Authorities claim to have in their possession recordings of the officer talking about wanting his ex-girlfriend killed in a conversation with the police informant. Castagna was forced from his job as police chief when he was convicted of the harassment charges last year. In Burlington, North Carolina, a retired sheriff's deputy has been charged with molesting a girl almost a decade ago. An Associated Press account says that Don Hurst was charged last week with one count of indecent liberties with a child. The act in question took place between 1994 and 1996, before Hurst's retirement from the sheriff's department. His victim was between the ages of 7 and 16 at the time of the alleged offense. A state highway patrol officer in Spartanburg, South Carolina, has been arrested for beating and kicking a handcuffed motorist. According to the state, Officer David Chapman was indicted last week on charges of misconduct in office and aggravated assault and battery. The beating is alleged to have taken place on February 24th. Chapman was suspended from the force on April 5th. Police in Louisville, Kentucky, are accused of beating a teenager who approached them after they made an arrest last Friday. According to WHAS, police had just arrested a man for domestic abuse when the teen approached their car and police ordered him to leave. In a videotaped incident, the police are shown shortly afterwards beating the boy three times with what appears to be a baton. A woman who spoke up against the beating was also placed in handcuffs and arrested by the officers. The boy was charged with resisting arrest and inciting a riot, and the boy and the woman were both charged with failure to disperse and disorderly conduct. The number of officers involved in the beating was not reported, nor were the names of any of the officers involved. Witnesses to the beating, who refused to speak with the media on camera, told reporters that the police overreacted.
They did it for nothing, you know, and it's uncalled for. It's uncalled for.
The officer pushed her off of him. Pursuant to that, she was injured.
Y'all have there to protect and serve others, not to harm.
We have no reason at this time to believe that anything happened other than what the officers at the scene reported happened.
A woman in Opelousas, Louisiana, says that she was beaten up by police officers early Sunday morning. KATC reports that the woman and her husband were leaving a club where police had been called in to break up a fight. The woman says that she was jumped by an officer for no reason in front of at least 20 witnesses. The woman lost two teeth and suffered a broken nose and bruised ribs in the incident. Police claim that the woman attacked them, but offer no motive for the attack. They say the woman was injured by the officer when the officer pushed her off of him. Both the woman and her husband are facing battery charges. The woman filed a complaint with the Opelousas police and gave a statement to the district attorney's office. The DA's office will decide whether or not there will be an investigation. A police officer in Blountsville, Alabama, was suspended on Monday after police were notified by concerned community members that the officer is a convicted sex offender. NBC 13 in Birmingham reports that Officer John Michael Langston resigned from the force after being informed of his suspension on Monday. Langston was charged with sexually abusing a female under the age of 12 in March 2003. He later pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor sexual misconduct charge. A police officer in Topeka, Kansas, is being sued by a couple who claim that he gave false statements to get a search warrant to search their home and business. An Associated Press report says that Officer Tom Fortmiller claimed the couple was selling cocaine, a charge they deny. Fortmiller is already facing around 100 charges connected to the disappearance of a large quantity of drugs from a police evidence room. The former chief of police in Spirit Lake, Iowa, is no longer facing charges of theft and misconduct in office. The Des Moines Register says that charges against Dan Thompson were dropped when the Attorney General's office missed a deadline for filing papers in the case. The charges were the result of a 2002 investigation into secret bank accounts maintained by the police department. An officer in Hilltown, Pennsylvania, has been suspended without pay, pending the outcome of criminal proceedings against him. The Lansdale Reporter says that Officer James Kane was suspended last week. He is charged with repeatedly raping a boy over a six-year period, beginning when the boy was 11 years old. He is charged with two counts of first-degree rape of a child, five counts of first-degree involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, aggravated indecent assault, endangering the welfare of children, possessing child pornography, and corruption of minors. Kane was arrested on April 28th and is still being held in custody on a $1 million bail. A Penn Township, Pennsylvania police officer was suspended for 3 days on Monday. According to the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, patrolman Douglas Lewis has been suspended without pay for 3 days for unknown disciplinary reasons. The reasons behind the action will only be made public if the officer decides to appeal his suspension. A police officer in Oak Hill, Florida, may lose her job on June 18th after being accused of multiple violations of department policy. A report in the Daytona Beach News Journal says that Sergeant D. Williams has been suspended without pay since February over 14 separate allegations of misconduct, including lying on her employment application when she became a police officer. The June hearing of the town's personnel board will decide whether or not the officer's employment with the department will be terminated.
Implied use a couple times a day. Actual use, where I've actually fired a canister once. You get someone, they're not compliant, you let them know what's going to happen, and then you turn it on and give them a taste of what's forthcoming.
There has to be an officer there with deadly force options as well as the taser when the taser is deployed.
On Friday, a man in Batavia, Ohio, died about an hour after police shot him with a taser. Taser International, the primary manufacturer of stun guns used by police throughout the U.S. and Canada, announced on Tuesday that they would delay the release of their first quarter financial report with federal regulators. The company's stock prices immediately dropped by 10%. Shares traded at $10.47 on Tuesday after experiencing gains over the last several weeks. As recently as December, Taser shares were worth over $30 each. Taser's total first quarter revenues this year were around $10.2 million, down from $13.1 million in the same period last year. This week, Taser International publicized a new study which says that their stun guns have no adverse effects on the heart rhythms of healthy adults. The small study, which looked at around 25 people, was conducted by a group of physicians in California. The doctors looked at the heart rhythms of people both before and immediately after being shocked with the taser. The results of the completed study will be presented at a conference of doctors in New York this week. Taser International's top medical officer, Robert Stratbucker, has been removed as an advisor to a controversial study being conducted by a researcher at the University of Wisconsin. The study, which will look at the effects of tasers on the hearts of pigs, has already been subject to criticism from animal rights activists. The study is funded by a $500,000 grant from the U.S. Justice Department. Stratbucker's own taser research has been questioned by other scientists who claim that Stratbucker's conclusions and methodology are flawed and that the doctor has helped the company by allowing it to make false claims about their stun guns based on his research. In the grant proposal sent to the Justice Department, a copy of Stratbucker's resume was included, which made no mention of his work for Taser International. John Webster, the professor who is conducting the new Taser study, indicated in his grant application that there was no conflict of interest in using Stratbucker as an advisor for the study. Last week, it was announced that an Edmonton, Alberta officer involved in a Taser incident in October 2002 will not be charged with a crime. The officer, Mike Wasilishin, used a taser to wake up a 16-year-old and then proceeded to shock him 5 more times as he was arresting him. A judge at the teen's trial called the officer's actions an abuse of force and cruel and unusual punishment in his decision, which dismissed the charges against the boy. Other than the killings already reported in this week's program, police also killed people this week in Cedar Hill, Texas, Savannah, Georgia, Riviera Beach, Florida, Homestead, Florida, Miami, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, Medford, Oregon, Modesto, California, Long Beach, California, and Phoenix, Arizona. That's all for this week. Tune into this station next week for more. Please feel free to email us your comments and story ideas. We count on you to keep us up to date with what's going on in your town. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Thank you to everyone who sent in material for this week's show. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. As usual, we're going to end our time together with some music.
say, fuck the police.